Welcome back to the Property Journey Podcast, Roy, episode 12.
Indeed.
And today's topic, we are going to be talking about moving house. For some of the episodes that we've done before, we've obviously talked about, you know, first-time buyers, talking about people sort of selling their house, but we haven't talked about maybe those people that have bought their first house and now it's time for them to sell.
Yep.
And it's a slightly different experience for them because you're kind of, you know, different circumstances nearly.
Big, big difference from buying your first home. Buying your first home, you're literally just, you know, you wait till the house is ready, whether it's a new build or if it's pre-owned, you're just waiting for that date. You're waiting for the availability and you generally can move in at your leisure. Whereas the big, big difference whenever you're moving house is you've got everything, every single thing to get moved out of that house in literally the space of 2 or 3 hours. So physically, there's a lot more to do. And then also there's a lot more to do from the legal point of view as well.
I think probably for me, the thing that I've noticed the most, obviously in my so-called property journey that we've been talking about, is the different circumstances. So when people are maybe buying their first home, they're maybe moving from home, maybe living with their parents first, and then they're moving into their new home. Happy days. You're not having to move out as such. You know, you can do it gradually or at your own pace. And similar to whether or not you're renting as well, you know, you may have purchased your first home and you've maybe still got 2 weeks left in your, on your lease, or your rental lease, and therefore you've got 2 weeks of time frame to kind of move things out.
Yeah.
And the different circumstances is if you're selling and then buying at the same time, it's a whole new sort of time frame that you have to work within.
Oh, wow. No, it's a very common question that we come across is, can I get the keys to the two houses at the same time for a day or two or for a week or two? But absolutely not. It's literally, it's a couple of hours of even that where you have to be completely all packed up and out.
And I think I don't think maybe some people realize that, especially if you're a first time buyer and you've went through the process for the first time and you think, oh, well, last time I had 2 weeks to be able to move in. It is simply a case of if you're buying and selling and it's complete on the same day, you sell your house, you have to move everything out and then move everything into your new house that you've bought if it matches up.
Yeah. A key thing is be organized, but at the same time, there's only so much that you can organize that's in your control. So first of all, let the legal side of things run its course. Now, bear in mind, the legal side is going to take more than likely a lot longer whenever you're moving house as opposed to buying your first house. Because on average, whenever you're upsizing or downsizing, you know, the person that you're buying off is probably also going to be moving as well. So the more people that's involved in moving house, that's known as a chain transaction. The more people that's involved, the longer the process. So there's more paperwork has to go backwards and forwards between all of the solicitors. So allow time for that to happen. And then once you get to a particular point, generally almost whenever the contracts are ready for being signed, then start to look about or start to discussing a completion date. A lot of people try and organize a completion date first of all and try and ram all the paperwork in the other way around. Doesn't work. That's just adding massive stress to the whole thing. So let the paperwork and the legal run its course first of all, and then you start talking about completion dates.
So I do have a few questions about obviously trying to, as you say, keep it as stress-free as possible, because it is a stressful time, especially if you've, you know, maybe accumulated a lot of stuff within your house and you're having to get it boxed up, and then you're thinking about, what do you have to do? Do you have to get a removal company? Am I going to do it myself? Moving everything over and then finally getting into your new home and getting settled. So, like, why do you think that most people find moving house stressful?
I'm going to be a wee bit cheeky here. Is that they find it stressful because they create the stress themselves. So as I say, they pick the date and they're maybe picking a date that suits them. It could be due to maybe holidays at work, maybe kids and school arrangements and things like that. Or they maybe feel, well, they've got a couple of kids and they've a lot of stress and a lot of pressure organizing them, and they're trying to juggle all of that. Let that all go. It might be easier said than done, but let that all go and just let the house ban process take its course and be guided by your solicitor, so that once you come to particular stages, start organizing in those stages. So for instance, I said about going through the legal process, let that run its course. Then you get to talking about completion dates. And then once you start talking about completion dates, you know, pick that date well in advance. You know, we're in an age where everybody wants everything now. And by ramming everything as quickly as possible, they're just creating too much to do in too short of a space of time. And that's what's causing the stress and the hassle. Whereas you sign the contract, you pick a date for maybe, say, for instance, you could whatever time frame, you could pick it for 4 weeks in advance, 6 weeks in advance. That gives you 6 weeks to then start organizing. That's loads of time to start talking about removal companies, booking off work, childcare arrangements, and just general organizing and cluttering, decluttering of the house.
And some of these topics we are going to get into, because I have made a note on them, about sort of some of the circumstances that some people would struggle with. And I suppose some of the key factors, you know, what about moving companies? Like, at what stage are you thinking about, when should I be booking a removal company? Is that when your completion date is concrete? Is it maybe the morning of? Is it maybe the night before, because you know that it's going ahead? At what stage are you thinking about removal companies?
Well, I'll say when would be a good time to discuss, and I'll share with you what is very common. So what's very common is, that's one thing, people pick the date themselves and then they book the removal company, and then they try and speak to the solicitor and everybody else involved and trying to get it to organise. So as you can see from that point, if you've booked off work and booked your removal company and the paperwork and everything doesn't catch up in time, well, you've created a problem and created stress. Whereas if you get to that stage, as I say, where you sign the contract, you have a 6 week period beforehand where, you know, in around that time, you can start to call removal companies and see what is their availability, and they might be able to provisionally book you in, and then you can plan ahead that way.
And I suppose maybe one of the common things as well is, and I actually skipped over that question, was what role kind of about that pre-planning side of things? You know, a lot of people always sometimes wonder, when do I start to pack the house?
Well, I'll share with you my worst experience ever. And that was a gentleman that was moving house, and I explained the whole process to him, but you know, he perhaps didn't care to take it on board. Phoned him up on the day of completion to basically congratulate him, to say, right, that's it, he can now go and get the keys and move. And he literally had not done anything. He hadn't even made his bed that morning. He literally, there was food in the cupboards, there was literally everything had to be done, and there was complete chaos. Everybody was hopping mad, estate agents, home movers, removal companies, solicitors, the clients, everybody was clean mad. And that was my worst experience. The tip would be, personally, you know, well in advance, even whenever your house is agreed and you're going through that legal process, that's the time where you can start to make small steps, but will have big impacts. So small steps could be, first of all, declutter the house. Every house is full of, whether it's unused kids' toys, unused, you know, clothes, handbags, shoes, everything like that. The things that are rubbish that's maybe sitting up in the roof space, like, you know, four Christmas trees from 10 years ago, you know, that sort of a thing. Get them all thrown out, get that all cleared out. Then after that, box up the items that you don't use very often. And then you'll be surprised then, once you've those two steps done, what you'll be left with probably isn't that much.
Yeah. And that was actually something, again, that I was going to talk about, was that sort of decluttering and, you know, nearly downsizing what you've got, mm-hmm. before you even think about moving. And as that's probably a step, as you say, that if you're thinking about selling your house, and even if it's on the market, start doing that then to kind of get ahead of it, so that you can then begin to, as you say, box up as and when you need to.
Once you've all the junk out and cleared out, you might be looking at a bigger house, and then once you've that done, you'll realize in fact the house is too big that you're in. So yeah,
that extra garage that you were thinking you needed, you really don't. And it is a big thing. A lot of people do forget about that, you know, when you start to look at the attic, and you maybe start to look at the garage, and there maybe is an attic in the garage as well, and you start to think about everything that you have got that you never look at.
Yeah.
You know, do you really need to be taking that to your nice new home that you're moving into? No, probably not.
No, start fresh.
Yeah.
Clean out, clear out.
And that probably is one of the biggest things that actually stresses people out, is maybe the amount of stuff that they have got.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting around and taking the time to clear it out, you know, so that you're not maybe having to book a 40-foot lorry to take all your stuff to your new home. You know, you could do with a box van after you've maybe done all your clearing out. One of the big things is obviously moving house with your, whether it's maybe pets that you've got, or also children.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing obviously is, how do you maybe expect me to move house with kids and small kids and
you stuff? Can't box them up though. You can't box them up. But on a serious note though, you could, you know, I appreciate if you've got a young family and you've pets and things like that, you know, literally if you have the resources and you've got family connections and friend connections, why not, you know, have the kids maybe sent away for a weekend to stay with their grandparents or whatever. It's just one less thing for, you know, them getting in the way. And, you know, I know in my house, if you ever do try to clear out toys and things like that, then they know they're going to the bin, you know, there's drama. So get them out of the way, and it could make the move a lot easier.
And that probably falls in again, very similar to even as and when you are physically moving.
Mm.
As you say there, it does add a level of sort of complexity to the situation when it's maybe not just two people moving house. You know, you've maybe got small kids there, you've maybe got pets there. Would it be worthwhile putting in pre-arrangements with maybe grandparents or parents, whatever it happens to be able to, you know, take that level of complexity out, that you're not having to worry about kids and pets?
Put a plan in place, you know, decide well in advance, are you going to be moving house yourself, or are you going to get a removal company in? Now, definitely, again, that's going to weigh up as to how much stress you can handle and how much stress you want. So by all means, yes, if you want to get into the thick of it, you know, hire out a removal van or lorry and physically move the items yourself if you've got plenty of friends and family. But I would definitely stress only do that if you've got those resources. You know, if it's only you and your partner and the two of you are trying to haul out the sofas and the wardrobes and all, you know what way that's going to end up. And if you are going to go down that route, I would strongly stress that in the weeks prior to it, get the big stuff out of the way. The big items, maybe the spare bed or the spare bedroom wardrobe, those sorts of things, put them into storage. I appreciate it's maybe costly to do that, but again, on that day, you have a lot less items to move. But ultimately, the best thing to do is, and always factored into your budget when moving house, is to get a brilliant removal company. A brilliant removal company will be worth their weight in gold, and they will just take so much stress out of the whole process for you.
And I suppose, again, that's when you're looking at maybe removal companies, I don't know, Roy, if you maybe know one yourself or if you've used one, is probably thinking about recommendations and stuff like that as well. They find one.
Well, again, do your research. You know, from my experience, you get removal companies. A lot of people fall into the trap of just phoning around removal companies, thinking they all do the same thing, and asking them for a price, and they just pick the cheapest one. That could be the case whereby that removal company has booked you in maybe just for a morning slot or an afternoon slot. So that means if on the day of completion, if legally things aren't running smooth and the flow of money isn't running smoothly, that can cause a lot of stress and hassle. The removal company might be then ending up you know, putting pressure on you to get moved. Whereas if you use a genuine, a real professional removal company, they'll talk you through exactly what their service is, what all's involved, and what the cost is. So we've come across Stephen Jordan, does a lot of removals, highly, highly recommended, incredibly professional, has lots of different sizes of vans and lorries and things like that, and has a good team, and just comes in and wipes everything out for you in a fantastic manner.
And we'll make sure to put his details in the comments or in the description for you as well, if you ever do need them. And that's we sort of touched there on that stressfulness of the situation. But like some people, when it comes to this question, you know, which is packing strategies, what's you've sort of touched there, taking maybe some of the bigger things, the spare wardrobes, the, you know, maybe the back bedroom that you don't use, that's maybe a guest bedroom, you know, you really don't need that stuff for day-to-day life, you know, so plan ahead, get rid of it. But like, do you have any recommendations for sort of organizing your packing? Now this could go down very badly with some people that are very OCD when it comes to packing and decluttering and stuff like that, but you know, like what is the best way? Is it basically looking at, you know, the old China tea set that you bring out for, you know, once in a blue moon for a tea party, like packing that away and getting all that stuff away first?
Again, being practical, being organized, you know, there's different companies online where you can actually buy boxes and you buy the, you know, the stuffing and everything like that, so that you're taking the items, the likes of your China and, you know, all the breakables and things like that, so they're properly packed up, so that whenever they are being moved and being carried about and being dropped or knocked about, that, you know, they're not going to get broken. And then also being organized, you know, have everything all, maybe a lot of people would do, you know, one room at a time, so, and all the boxes are properly labeled up as to what room it is and what's contained in it. And again, that will then make it easier for the removal company, so that they know that, you know, the boxes are being loaded onto the lorry, being carried off and being put into the right room. But more than likely, again, speak to the removal company. They'll guide you. No doubt, you know, they're on a day in, day out. They're going to have loads of tips. And again, there's services out there as well. Some removal companies will actually come in and pack all your items up as well. So again, speak to removal companies and get a full list of what all their services are.
Yeah, and I, as you say there, even something as very simple as labeling the boxes to make sure that they're going into the right rooms, you know, having that and knowing that when you're moving house and all that stuff's then going into your new house, because it's not just stressful to unload everything from your old house that you're selling, but it's still stressful to then put everything into the new house and making sure that it finds its place and you don't have random boxes lying in the kitchen that's meant to be for the kids' bedroom and meant to be for your bedroom, and they're sitting in the kitchen and your kitchen cutlery sitting up in the bedroom as well. You know, it can be stressful even moving in to your new house. And some people, sorry, I maybe nearly forget about that as well. That's the relief of getting in through the door, but then it's the aftermath of ensuring that you're moved in correctly.
One of the
and I'm sure you probably get this question a lot, which is, what about updating your address and moving utilities?
So the best advice would be go through your direct debits, because everything nowadays is mostly all online. So go through all your direct debits. A lot of people would pay their car insurance, their car tax, their house insurance, even what else have you, your rates, your mortgage, everything. Go through all of those utilities and then simply update them all. So the likes of the rates, you can call them on the day that you move out or in and around when you've moved, and you just say you've left the property and you give your new address. If you owe anything, then you just pay that up to the date of your removal. And then likewise, if you've overpaid, then you get a refund off it. Same as I say, all utilities, your broadband, your electricity, just, you know, update all of them, phone all of those accounts, give in meter readings, and get the accounts closed down and moved over to your new property.
Because I sometimes feel that some people nearly think that that is the role of the solicitor, that they have to do that, or yeah, it nearly has to be authorized by them to be able to do a lot of these things. But it is simply up to the person,
the homeowner, yes,
that's moving house. And one of the big questions obviously then is the likes of like passport details and all.
Your passport's okay, but it's your driving license. Your driving license shows your address on it. So again, that's something you need to get that updated to your new address as well.
Essentially, it's anything that you've got an old address on, or yeah, that isn't your current address that you need to be updating then.
Yeah.
And that's obviously falls into your broadband and all that. And
probably, you know, it's one of those things, if you don't think about it, you don't know. But if you're planning ahead and you've agreed your house for sale, well, even if you keep a diary or jot down the things, what's coming in the post? You know, from that period of you agreeing your house and going through the legal process, you know, you can very easily within a 6-week period realize, well, actually, that's linked to the address. And you just keep a note of all of those things as you go through the whole process of buying the house. And then once you get moved into your new one, then you get everything changed over.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose one of the other aspect of it as well is the post office. What way does it work with post, for example?
So again, your post, unless you update all those providers, the post is going to continue to go to your old house. Now, there is a service that the Royal Mail provide whereby you pay them an amount of money for a period of time, whether it's 1 month, 3 months, or a year, what have you, and then they'll automatically redirect your post to your new property, and that'll just automatically happen. And again, that could be something, even if you did that for the sake of 2-3 months, again, you'll see maybe what should have been updated, or maybe what has been missed or overlooked.
And it is very easily, because we all know nowadays, especially with either subscriptions or things that you have to do, payment plans, whatever it happens to be, that, you know, you've signed up to quite a lot probably, and you're not maybe going to get a letter every week or every month. It could be maybe 3 months, 6 months, whatever it happens to be. So you could very easily overlook that. Yeah. But I know it's a big concern for a lot of people as well, as I move in house, what about what happens to my post?
Yeah.
And as you say, if you've updated the vast majority of it, at least that service there is beneficial to be able to do that. What is your best advice for people on moving day?
On moving day, I haven't run through what legally happens on moving day, so I'll run through what's in theory supposed to happen, and then practically what's the best way. So in theory, a home mover is supposed to be out of their house by 12 o'clock. And then what's happening in the background is the money is flowing. So that means if you're selling a house, you're going to get the sale money in from it. You're going to have your mortgage money coming in, and that gets sent on then to the solicitor for the house that you're buying. Now, again, if there's houses involved or transactions involved on either side of that, that's involved as well. So money flowing the whole way through, the chances of it happening before 12 o'clock is possible, but there's always that possibility where it doesn't happen. So I tell all my clients, you know, be prepared, have a plan B and have a plan C scenario. And I purposely, whenever I meet with them and have a consultation, I go through this so that they should have a contingency plan in place, and that if I'm making a phone call to them on moving day saying, well, the money's delayed or this is what's happening, well then they should be able to kickstart that contingency plan rather than being a rabbit caught in the headlights. That's, you know, theoretically and that's what's supposed to happen. Practically, my best advice would be, and not everybody would agree to this, but it's a proactive way, is if you're selling your house and somebody's moving into it and there's a delay with the money coming through, why not simply open up your garage if your garage is available and allow your buyer to start to move a few things in? Or if you have a room cleared out in your house, like the front living room or something like that, allow them to start to move in a few things. Now, the main point is you're not handing over keys, you're not handing over legal occupation to the property, and you're still in control of the property, so there should be no fear there at all. Likewise, the house that you're moving to, if you're able to get that opportunity as well, start to move a few things. Because my experience is practically if people are moving and physically doing something, they're content and they're happy. Even if it means they're only able to carry in one box or two boxes, they're happy. Whereas if they're waiting on phone calls saying the money's transferred and they're sitting in their lorry and they're outside your house and they're eyeballing you as if to say, get out of my new house, you're holding me up here. I have seen it where tempers fray and things get very hot and heavy, whereas just simply moving a few things keeps everybody happy. And then ultimately, once the money has filtered all the way through the chain, at that point, the keys are handed over, and that's whenever the physical and legal ownership then passes to each buyer.
As you say, it is proactive, and you know, as you say, legally nothing's been transferred over, so there is nothing to worry about if a few boxes are sitting in the middle of a room somewhere. You know, it's maybe not the ideal situation, but as you say, are more content. The home buyers and home sellers are more than likely, you know, slightly more calmer to see that something's happening, and as well it keeps you slightly more busy, so you're not thinking about, you know, when am I getting my keys.
Yeah.
you're actively doing something to kind of, as you say, stop that. So moving day is going to be stressful. There's no point denying that, but if you've done your pre-planning and you've done as much as you physically can, where you can sit down maybe in the evening once everything's completed and your boxes are labeled and you've got a list of things that you need to transfer your address over to, and you know, you're sitting with a plan, it should be as stress-free as possible. And it's basically back to trusting the people that are doing your legal work, your solicitors, to do what they're being paid to do. And sort of onto the last couple of questions, but like post move, then what would be sort of what steps should people really take to settle into their new home? And is it more kind of get used to the area that they're moving into?
Well, I suppose practically, again, not everybody is going to do it in this day and age. Is, you know, I always believe getting to know your neighbours, having those connections, and building trust and respect with your neighbours, so that down the line you're really investing in the future. So that down the line, you know, if you're away on holidays, you know, it's always handy maybe to have the neighbour who can put the bin out for you, or even mow the lawn for you a wee bit. Maybe if you're a wee bit elderly or older, and you know, you might as well take advantage of or take use of your neighbours, and you know. Some people can be a wee bit particular in their ways as well. I've come across stories whereby maybe in particular developments, although the car park spaces are maybe allocated for the whole development, everybody has their own wee place and their own wee routine, and is maybe just respecting that and fitting in. You don't want to park in somebody else's space and then lo and behold, there's a whole big row and you've moved into a new development and you're already having neighbor wars. So,
and they're probably coming back to you as your solicitor, but not coming back to buy or sell a house. That's for legal advice.
Exactly.
I 100% I agree. Especially when it boils down to your neighbors, and be, you know, at least having a couple of people around you that you can trust and rely on if it ever comes to it. And as you say, fitting in, parking is, especially if the house that you're buying does not have a drive.
Yeah.
It can be a real minefield, especially parking.
Yeah.
And people do have routines, and they've maybe had the same routine for 20 years or 25 years, and you move in and park your car in their space, it's not really going to end well, so it's not.
No.
And I suppose then the last thing is sort of, what sort of support network are we talking about? Or even professional assistance, people that you can rely on in that sort of home moving process to keep it as stress free. You know, your solicitor is obviously one, your removal company is another, you know.
Generally, that would be it. Family, that we've touched on, maybe family or friends to help looking after kids, maybe helping cleaning the old house or getting the new house ready and settled in. And sometimes maybe having the mortgage advisor on board as well, because a lot of people are maybe porting their mortgage over, so they're taking their old mortgage with them, and maybe just knowing that the flow of money and everything's happening well and their insurances and everything are in place as well. So it's just another person where they can maybe bounce a few things off, or just to get reassurance, really, more than anything.
And you know what, actually, that was my last question, but you've just said something there which we haven't touched on, and it's probably extremely important, is cleaning your old house.
Yes, it is. I've come across a lot of horror stories as well over the years. Within the paperwork that you're signing before you sell a house, you are agreeing that the house is going to be free from all the rubbish and all the junk. That includes the roof space and the garage as well, that the house is fully cleaned, and that you only remove the items and leave the items that you've said that you're going to remove and leave. So,
and just to interrupt there, Roy, is that back to your fixtures and fittings
back to list? The fixtures and fittings list during the legal process. So whenever you're selling a house, there's a standard form that you fill out to say what items you're going to remove, what items you're going to leave. So, you know, don't be saying that at one point you're going to, you know, remove the garden shed, and then when it comes to the day of moving, you think to yourself, flip, that shed's far too much of a hassle here, I haven't time or can't be bothered, and then you leave it. You know, that's going to cause a bit of disgruntledness with the new buyer. And the big complaint that we hear is a house being left dirty. Now, I appreciate moving house, you have a lot to do on that day. But again, bit of forward thinking, you literally could give the house a full, complete spring clean, even with the items in the house. Okay, it's a wee bit more work. You have to pull everything out and give it a full clean. But don't believe in a wardrobe that's been sitting there for 10 years, hasn't been moved, and then you move it out on the day of completion, and then maybe expect to clean the place. You'll not have time to do that. You'll have time to give it a wee quick hoover and a quick mop, but not the full... Get the marigolds on, get the bleach out.
And get scrubbing. Mm. No, because actually, just simply as you mentioned that, I thought to myself, you know what, it's actually a very important topic when it comes to moving house and keeping it stress-free, is ensuring that the house is properly cleaned. Because the last thing that you want is obviously when you're moving into your new house, having complaints about your old house. And as you say, if you haven't moved the wardrobe in 10 years, you know, it's maybe not going to be a pretty sight behind it. So it's not so making sure that you're getting that done.
Yeah, yesterday I was speaking to people who are moving house, and quite simply, when they moved the last time, they moved into a house that was, in their words, very, very dirty, very, very messy. It just got them off to a real, real bad vibe and mood for the property. And because of that, they just never really settled in. They didn't fall in love with the house. They hated it, and literally 2 years later they were just like, you know what, that's, you know, let's move.
And I suppose actually you don't think of the impact on that.
Absolutely.
You know, when someone's walking into a house, and especially when it's maybe their first house, it may not be your first house, but it is their first house. And if you're walking in and you're obviously, you know, it's your new house. But if you walk in and it's not clean, it's just gonna put a real dampener in things. Like,
yeah. You know, it's what goes round comes round. You know, like, on the one hand, you can't be leaving your house in a mess, but at the same time, expecting that whenever you get the keys to the new house, that it's gonna be squeaky clean. Leave it the way you want your new place to be.
Yeah. Well, I think that's everything covered in terms of keeping it as stress-free as possible. There is a few tips in there, you know, in terms of packing, in terms of your removal companies, you know, getting your cleaning done early, and having your pre-planning done. You know, keep it as stress-free as possible. It's meant to be, again, and we reference this all the time, Roy, it's meant to be a happy time.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's an experience.
You're meant to be going in and exciting. It's, you know, you're getting a new home. It could be the home that you are going to stay in for the rest of your life. You want it to be
next chapter of your life, yeah.
As positive as possible. So keep it as stress-free as possible, and trust the people that, you know, you have around you that are going to provide and do the job for you that you're expecting. Yeah. So that is episode 12 over and done. Thank you very much, Roy.
Thank you, Chris. Once again, a
value of knowledge here. and it's quite funny to even say it, but, you know, property journey. and beginner to expert, and I feel like I'm learning quite a lot over even the last 12 episodes.
You'll soon be in this seat.
Well, maybe not go that far. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone, for listening, Chris. And we will see you in the next episode.